If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I talk week 8 of the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT. As we usually do, we break down the show, what we like and what we didn't like. And I think you're going to like our interviews today. In studio, Ron Funches and Dan Soder, the two hottest comedians in America today. And not only do we talk about their careers, but more importantly, we talk pro wrestling and the Wednesday Night War. Dan Soder breaks down NXT, and Ron Funches breaks down AEW. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. And listen, we can now definitely call it a war with everything that went on with social media leading up to what we saw last night between the wrestlers, between management of AEW and NXT. So it is definitely a pro wrestling war that's taking place. And obviously with NXT, it's a war within brands in the WWE. Very interesting environment when it comes to NXT. And again, another week that AEW, for me, had probably their best show since they have been live on TNT. And maybe last night was the best night of this Wednesday Night War.
All right, listen, I found myself flipping back and forth. I found myself staying on one channel more than the other at times. I got to see, obviously got to watch both shows. You weigh them out against each other. Like, if you put that checklist, you know, down, you know, perception, reality, who wins the perception? Well, I think AEW does. Who wins the reality? I think NXT does. I think when it comes to the in-ring wrestling and the psychology of pro wrestling in the ring, I think you got to give the edge to NXT. When it comes to the perception and the, you know, the crowd and the excitement and the atmosphere, man, you have to give it to AEW. And as we go on in the show today, we will break down why. And we're, you know, I actually want to, you know, as we get in, talk about that first segment that we saw from each show and how the you know, switching back and forth would have been so easy or difficult for a fan to do and what kept people on any particular station.
Yeah, and we're going to definitely break it down. That's something that we definitely need to do. And like you said, we invite the Busted Open Nation to be a part of the conversation as well. And it seems like what you just said about, you know, the in-ring advantage NXT, complete package advantage AEW. It seems, Bully, that you've kind of had that opinion almost since week one that these two shows have been going against each other.
And every Wednesday night, I go into these shows with a clean slate. I actually go into every wrestling show with a clean slate. I don't compare them to the week before or anything like that. I go by what I see at the moment. What can grab me at the moment? And it's very, very difficult to change the channel on AEW. And it comes down to one thing. It's that crowd. The crowd and the AEW fan is so into what they are seeing. They're so excited to be there. They want to be a part of that show so bad. And they outnumber the NXT audience by, obviously, thousands. You got 500 people in Full Sail, and you got, let's say, 5,000-6,000 people in Indianapolis last night. The crowd is going to look bigger, but most of all, it's going to sound bigger. And when I hear that sound coming out of the TV for an AEW show, when I hear that rabid audience going crazy for what they're watching in the ring, it makes me as a viewer want to watch in the ring. It's you know, it's the same way they went about things back in the day with Raw and Nitro. They try to put the biggest bang for their buck on their show at any given moment. But with Raw and Nitro, you were basically in 15,000, 20,000 seat arenas every night. So it was really difficult to choose which one you wanted. Then it was, who do I like better? Do I like Stone Cold? Or do I like Goldberg? beginning of the night, you got Becky Lynch, you know, in the middle of the ring, and you have Nick Jackson and Rey Fénix in the middle of the ring. I don't even think it's close as to which station you want to stay on. I'm looking at action and I'm looking at crowd response as opposed to a promo and a crowd listening.
It's you know, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm not saying that I disagree, Bully, but who would have thought that week 8 of this Wednesday Night War that you would start NXT with Becky Lynch and you would finish NXT with Seth Rollins? You're talking about the two biggest stars on the main roster for the WWE are beginning and ending the show last night. And we're now 2 months in to this Wednesday Night War. Now, I get it. We're building towards Survivor Series. That's the other thing where you have to give the advantage to NXT in this situation, Bully, is that Survivor Series is one of the big four pay-per-views for the WWE. NXT is now a part of Survivor Series for the very first time, and we're just days away from that pay-per-view. We're also just a couple of days away from an NXT takeover, so a unique situation for NXT on many levels. But I'll ask you, and this is the question I always ask you in the first segment of our shows on Thursday, when you look at NXT and the advantages that NXT had, and you look at AEW, which in all... really? I mean, I guess just another show for AEW. They're not building towards anything this weekend. Which show did you prefer last night?
AEW. It's more entertaining to me. For me. I'm not telling anybody that it needs to be their favorite show. I'm just more entertained by AEW. I'm very entertained by NXT when it comes to the wrestling. Here, I'll pick out one segment last night right off the bat. When you have Chris Jericho in the ring with Scorpio Sky, I'm just intrigued to hear what Scorpio Sky has to say. I never get to hear Scorpio Sky on the microphone. Why does Scorpio Sky have a microphone in his hand standing across from one of the best, stick guys in the business? So I give it a chance, and all of a sudden, within seconds, I'm hooked. Because the mic work between Jericho and Scorpio Sky last night was entertaining. I find myself watching, laughing, intrigued by it. How do you turn it off? So I know what I'm going to get with NXT. As unpredictable as NXT tried to be last night, I still know that it's a WWE product and it's still going to fit in a certain box. Yeah, we're going to have some crazy run-ins and we're going to have some new faces, show up on the show, some big stars. But when I'm on AEW, I don't know what I'm going to get. And just the fact that I'm not sure what's going to happen next is what keeps me on that station. As a fan, I'm not talking about as a pro. I try to watch these shows through the fan eyes. And they got me.
And plus, it was also the promise by Chris Jericho that had a very special announcement. And the announcement we got at the beginning of that segment was far different than what we got at the end of that segment, because we're going to get that Thanksgiving championship, Le Champion championship. Alex?
The Chris Jericho Thanksgiving celebration for Le Champion.
Thank you, Alex. Great job by you. That's what we're going to get. And that's what was the special announcement. And for me, that's amazing because it brings me back to the Festival of Friendship on Monday Night Raw. You know he's going to do that big, and that's going to be one hell of a segment. But then by the end of that segment, and again, once again, Chris Jericho puts the shine on somebody in the ring like he did last week with MJF. He did it with Scorpio Sky last night. And also next week, you're going to get that championship match, well played by both. So pretty significant segment. Now, on the other side with NXT, during that time, you got one hell of a tag match between the Viking Raiders and the Forgotten Sons.
No. Wasn't it the Revival and the Undisputed Era?
I think the Revival and Undisputed Era was just before, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Alex, right? I'm pretty positive it was the Viking Raiders and Forgotten Sons during that time.
That was going up against what? I'm sorry?
The Jericho segment with Scorpio Sky.
I think it was Undisputed and Revival.
Undisputed and Revival?
Because I actually remember somebody tweeting about the fact that Viking Raiders was a big boost for them, but they were a little, the fact that it was against Forgotten Sons so late in the show, it kind of had them flipping permanently back to AEW.
You know what, though? But point taken for each one, because I think the two best matches when it comes to NXT were those tag team matches. So obviously, NXT is giving you something that you don't see on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, which is tag team championship matches that are you know, taking a lot of time, and it doesn't necessarily need, it's non-title matches. That's not the point. But actually a spotlight on tag team wrestling that you just don't get on Raw and SmackDown.
I agree. But when I'm watching the Revival versus the Undisputed Era, I know exactly what I'm getting. I'm getting a great work rate tag team match. I know that nothing incredibly different or special is going to happen. I can basically predict, as a fan, I know what the outcome is going to be. I might not know what the finish is, but I know they're just going to have a great match. When I have Jericho and Scorpio Sky in the ring, I don't know what's going to happen. It's morbid curiosity right there. What the hell is Scorpio Sky going to say? What could he possibly say to Chris Jericho? And then all of a sudden he starts talking about his high school girlfriend and the entire place is chanting for this chick named Melody. And I'm like, oh my God, look at this. This shit's getting over. So, you know, it's like they have the Midas touch right now with a bunch of things. I'm not taking anything away from the tag team match on NXT. It was a great tag team match. As a tag team professional, I could appreciate it. I like it. You know, everybody's so high on the Revival. Newsflash, the Revival will never be the tag team that you want them to be and never achieve the greatness that you want them to achieve while they are in the WWE. Boom, done, see you, bye. I guarantee it. The only way they will ever be given the props that they have earned and deserved is if somebody in WWE Creative is listening to this show right now, which they do, and wants to shove it up my ass by pushing the Revival to the moon. Otherwise, you're just getting a tag team. So on the main roster, the Revival doesn't exactly knock them dead, do they, Dave?
No.
I mean, the Revival were at their most over when they're next to Randy and when they were doing skits with the New Day, yes?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so on the main roster, they're not exactly, you know, lighting the place on fire because Creative is not allowing them to. And now they're on NXT, and they're putting the Undisputed Era over. And they forgot to turn the car off when they parked it.
That's a problem. And listen, at some point, we got to get into the whole nonsense when it comes to the open door policy and how this show was laid out because, And actually, Becky Lynch, after Monday Night Raw, actually had some comments about the brands that I think are very interesting and probably reflect the same opinions that I have as we're getting closer to Survivor Series. But it's funny what you said about that match in the Revival, how you're really not getting the Revival you want on the main roster. And Undisputed Era are kings and champions when it comes to NXT. When you look at the other tag match, it's completely the different story because the Viking Raiders are actually finally getting a push and getting a spotlight on the main roster. You know, they are tag team, Raw tag team champions, and Forgotten Sons, let's face it, have pretty much been forgotten on NXT, and then they're in a match where you're, you know, it's the opposite of what you're talking about with the other tag match. So yes, you're getting great wrestling action in the ring, but you're not getting two teams together that are a good blend on a show.
And when I'm watching a pro wrestling show, I just want to be entertained. If you can entertain me more with a match, so be it. If you can entertain me more with a promo segment, so be it. I just go by how I feel at that moment. And at that moment in time, despite the fact that I was getting a good tag team match on NXT, I was getting a promo segment on AEW that I did not know where it was going to go. And for that reason, I found myself watching the AEW. Now, I watched the tag team match. I really liked the tag team match. How could you not like the tag team match between those two teams? I can't say enough good things about the two teams. But at the end of the day, I don't look at Fish and O'Reilly as the stars of that unit. The star of that unit is Adam Cole. That's end of story. And when I see the Revival, it's almost like I've gotten enough of them. I've gotten so little from them on the main roster due to Creative that now when they show an NXT, I'm not sure why I should care. Okay, I should care because I'm going to get a really great tag team match. All right, fine. But on the other show, I was getting something that I haven't seen before, and that intrigued me.
And is going to build towards something like a championship match like we're going to see next week. Yes, all this brand stuff is going towards Sunday where you're going to have Survivor Series, but you're not going to see the Viking Raiders and the Forgotten Sons have a story continue after what took place last night. You're not going to see Undisputed Era and the Revival have a story that's going to continue after what we saw last night. This all ends on Sunday. So what you're just getting is a match that's really getting you ready for a pay-per-view. And let's face it, too. Maybe I'm nitpicking and maybe the fans will kill me. But Triple H on Raw said, open door policy. Any brand could come and invade our show. We're going to be ready for you. How did the show start? Last night for NXT
with Becky Lynch.
With Becky Lynch, she's somebody from another brand. She's not part of NXT. So not only she is Raw and SmackDown invading the show, they're starting the show, and then you have planned matches with NXT superstars going up against Raw and SmackDown superstars. Where's the invasion? Where's the open door policy? There's planned matches on a format for a show that's owned by NXT.
The entire NXT show should have been a typical NXT show that got ruined throughout the show by invaders from Raw and SmackDown. And now that becomes your thread throughout the show, and you pay it off with what we got at the end.
But you got both. So you had planned matches with NXT wrestlers and SmackDown and Raw wrestlers, and then you did get invasion from Raw and SmackDown wrestlers. When I work out, I go hard. But the harder you go, the more tired you get, right? Your body and your breathing slow down. What if we could dial up the intensity and sustain our workouts? Training Mask will get you there. Training Mask is the industry leader in the development of performance breathing. Better breathing can help burn fat, build muscle, and improve your workout. Look, when we want stronger biceps, we train with weights. The resistance pushes your muscle. Training Mask provides resistance to your respiratory muscles, which control your airflow. What does this all mean? We can go harder, faster, and longer without the fatigue. Dial up the intensity, boost stamina, and maximize recovery time. Training Mask is what separates good fitness from athletic excellence, and you can learn more at trainingmask.com. Professional athletes and personal trainers use it, and so can you. Let's add more horsepower to our workout. Visit trainingmask.com. That's trainingmask.com. Somebody who's entertaining, somebody who shines bright, somebody who grips it and rips it is Reckless Ron Funches, who joins us in studio. How are you, Ron?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying this conversation because I couldn't agree more with everything Bully's saying. How are you doing, Bully?
What's happening, Ron? I love that laugh. Your laugh is infectious.
Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it.
Can you laugh on cue?
No, it's got to be for real.
See, that's a genuine person right there. He doesn't fake it. It's real. And I'm really looking forward to everything that's happening with Ron right now. He's going to be at Caroline's on Broadway from tonight to the 23rd right here in New York City. Go to carolines.com for tickets and maybe there'll be a ticket or two in my mailbox when I get home.
Absolutely.
Well, you never know.
Hey, you chase the hug with me, you gonna get it.
Finally, we have a guest in studio that gets it, Bully. Ron Funches gets it.
And Ron, you know this guy chases the hug every day, right?
Oh, I know. I listen to you guys every day. I know what he does.
Some people would call that just being a nice person, Ron. But
it's a little something different.
It's a little much, is what you're saying. I get it. But maybe those tickets will be in my mailbox when I get home. Really quick before we get into the wrestling, because there's a lot of wrestling that we want to talk. Because as Bully was talking, you were nodding. So obviously you're digging what's going on, especially on Wednesday nights with this Wednesday Night War. But you're in Caroline's. Now, for me, on the outside looking in, Caroline's is a huge club. It's an historic comedy club here in New York City. Mm-hmm. Is that lost on you? Like, when you're booked for Caroline's, that's kind of like a Madison Square Garden for somebody like Bully Ray. Do you get a little nervous knowing you're going to be working Caroline's?
Yeah, I definitely do, just because it's right in the middle of Times Square. It's a lot of people just traveling in, a lot of people on vacation who might not necessarily know me. It gives me a chance to really see if I'm going to, if my shit works. If my jokes work, they're going to work there. If they don't work, they're not going to give me the benefit of the doubt there. And just watching my career get better and watching them having to close both curtains because they, you know, only have like 100 people to now them opening those curtains, it lets me see how my career is progressing. And I mean, like you said, they always say if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. And that's one of those, you know, it's a litmus test.
That's awesome.
Asses in Seats tells you everything you need to know, right, Ron?
Absolutely.
And Bully always talks about like certain crowds when it comes to wrestling. I would think that New York is a certain type of crowd when it comes to comedy.
Yeah, and it also depends on where you are. A Manhattan crowd is different than a Brooklyn crowd, you know? It always depends on where you are, but it's again, just a great test. I love coming to New York. I have a fiance now, so I brought her out here with me.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's a week old. The first person I told was Stone Cold Steve Austin. So
wow. He just name dropped Stone Cold.
That's pretty old. That's a good.
Yeah.
On this show, that's a good name to drop.
I know where I am.
Tremendous. Hey, I'm just curious. You said like there's a difference between a Manhattan crowd and a Brooklyn crowd. Like, I think I know what you mean, but can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between a crowd that's going to come in and pay club prices and the 2-drink minimum. They're going to usually be a little bit older, a little more affluent. A Brooklyn crowd, maybe they're just paying that $15, $20 cover. That's all they can afford. It's usually younger, a little hipper. It's usually more my vibe, but I pride myself on being able to perform for anybody. So I like trying both.
Or you go to Jersey and everybody just drinks before the show.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Ron, what's the short-term goal for you right now? What do you have your eyes on? What prize are you trying to get real quick right now?
A job right now is what I'm trying to do. I just shot this game show for this place called Quibi, which is a new streaming network, and I'm hoping it takes off so I continue to have a base of where I can just work at home and know that my son's going to be taken care of, and then I don't have to go and perform in some places that I don't necessarily like going to. So that'll be my goal, more movie roles, and just working on my hour and getting it ready to I can someone wants another special from me. That's my goals right now.
I like it. You got the eye on the prize. That's awesome. I mean, and we've had you as a guest here a couple of times here on Busted Open, and it's amazing how much your career has progressed in such a short time. You know, has this been the best year of your career by far?
It's been the best year of my life so far. Man. Yeah, just people pay me to go travel and do comedy in Australia. That was a thing that I never thought would happen, being paid to go overseas to do comedy. Finding my fiance was a big deal in my life. This game show, my podcast is killing it. It's called Getting Better. It's a weird podcast. It's more about like a self-help through a comedy lens. We just talk about my journey, and I talk to people who I respect and what their goals are and what it took for them to reach their goals, which is one reason why I wanted to have Steve Austin on. He'll be on in 2 weeks. So if people want to check that out, come check out my podcast.
That's awesome.
Where'd you meet your fiance, Ron?
Met her on Bumble.
What the hell's a Bumble?
What's Bumble?
Oh, old people.
Look at LaGreca's face. He's so mad that you called him old. I'm popping over here because you're right, and he's mad because you're right.
It's just a date nap where women, they ask you first. They make the first move, and she came at me. I thought she was a Russian robot because she had one picture, and she looked super hot, and she was being very pretty aggressive. But I was like, I'll talk to this robot until they ask me for money, and then now we're engaged, so I guess she won in the long term.
That kind of sounds like LaGreca's relationship. Oh. I think Violetta just walked up to him, hit him over the head with a club, and dragged her back to the pierogi palace.
Stuffed the pierogi in his mouth and said, "You're coming with me."
That's my, you know, that's my wife you're talking about, Ron, by the way.
What? But that's true. She don't put a pierogi in your mouth.
She definitely sticks the pierogi in my mouth, usually on a Saturday night when she's had a couple of glasses of wine. I don't know where you go from here. I was like, the only app that I have on my phone is Stumble. That's when you drink too much and you need to run home.
That was funny, LaGreca. That was funny. It. Bravo, bravo.
Now, so we got it. So my show, we did the Carolines, my podcast. I'm in a cartoon called Harley Quinn. It'll be on the DC Universe in a couple weeks. We got all that out of the way. Let's talk wrestling.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
We actually had a lot of fun during the break. That fun's going to end when Dan Soder joins the show at the bottom of the hour, but I digress.
Wah, wah, wah.
Horrible guy.
You got Ron Funches in here. What the hell we need Dan Soder for? Yeah. Damn, shit. Freaking guy's funny. He just got married, engaged. We don't need no damn Dan Soder.
Yeah, you just want to hear a Macho Man impression? Come on.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We got Ron Funches in the studio, and we don't need no Dan Soder.
It's not bad. Actually, after hearing that, we do need Dan
yeah,
Soder.
Yeah, Dan's is better Soder, than yeah. that.
Much better.
That's pretty good for housing a double ham and Swiss in a 3-minute break.
That's so funny, because during the break, we're kind of like, why the hell is Ron getting engaged for? Because, you know, his career is really starting to get steam, and that's the last thing he should do, but I digress.
Well, you guys see the ball. You don't see the bald spot in the back of my head. I know where the future lies.
But that's in now, Ron.
Yeah, look at Dreamer.
That's true.
Dreamer's been bald for 15 years.
But, like, Bully's spouting off these impersonations during the break, and he's doing it while he's eating a ham sandwich. But, like, it's unbelievable how good he is.
I'm doing my impression of Dom DeLuise and Fatso housing a sandwich while I'm doing my impersonations of Stone Cold telling Ron Funches not to get married.
See,
give him the honey, Junior.
See, Ron, for you young people, that's a hit movie from 1980.
Oh.
The movie Fatso with Dom DeLuise, a comedian in the 80s that you may not have heard of.
I know Dom DeLuise.
Well, I don't know because you're young and Bully and I are old, so I want to make sure.
Just
I don't
because
know about,
you don't know stuff don't mean I don't know
I don't know
stuff.
About Bubble, but I do know Dom DeLuise.
Did you say Bubble?
It's Bubble, right?
Yeah. LaGreca bursts everybody's when he comes on the show every morning.
That's funny. It's Bubble. That when you met your fiance, the Bubble app.
Yeah, sure.
Ron is going to tell all his comedian friends. Yeah, I was on with this old fart on Busted Open talking
they
about
all
Bubble.
They know you. They know you.
Yeah, they know me being
they
old.
They know you. Let's talk wrestling.
Right, let's talk.
Ron, right off the bat, here we go. NXT or AEW?
Right now, AEW.
Wow.
Why? Because I'm enjoying the stories more than I think the issue right now I'm having with NXT is just that everything gets so mixed up with the Survivor Series and things going back and forth that the storylines kind of suffer to me. I don't know. Like, I know a lot of things that are happening now won't matter in a month. And whereas in AEW, I'm just now, I thought last episode was my favorite episode because it was the first time where I'm starting to see some of the storylines and things that were set up in the very first episode start to pay off. I'm seeing things start to make sense. When I see SCU and Jericho and that in the Inner Circle all fight each other, it all makes sense to me. You know, it's a storyline that I've been able to follow from the beginning. I can see what's going on with MJF. I can see the difference between him and Hangman Adam Page as far as, like, here's a guy who had a shot and didn't know how to get down and dirty, and now here's MJF who's like, I'm going to show you how I can fucking get down and dirty, and I will take your shot from you. It's all, like, simple stories that I can do a log line for and I can understand. I don't have any of those going on with WWE right now.
You know, wow. I mean, he nailed it. Ron nailed it. A lot of what we talked about here on this show, Bully.
But the thing that he just said that it wowed me was he said simple stories. What do we always talk about, Dave? Keep it simple, stupid.
Yep.
There's no reason to complicate pro wrestling. And here's a guy, Ron, who likes AEW better because they are keeping their story simple. It's easy to digest. It's easy to understand. Meanwhile, the other brand has them thinking entirely too much. I think that's great feedback for both of those brands to hear.
Yeah, and I think Ron, too, one of the problems with AEW and NXT is that I think NXT has just assumed that when they moved to USA, that these were people who watched the show when it was on the WWE Network and didn't really introduce the characters and the players on the show. They just assumed, hey, you already know who everybody is. AEW being a new show, and like you said, week one, hey, it's going to take a little time, but we're gonna introduce you to Darby Allin. We're going to introduce you to MJF. We're going to introduce you to Scorpio Sky, and it's a process, and I think they've done a good job
with it. And they show that they listen, which to me is a good artist does in all forms. Like, you present what you want. I never go out there and go, what do they want? I present what I want. But the audience tells me what they like. And you can't tell me that they knew that the audience was going to love Darby Allin. The audience didn't know they were going to love Darby Allin because they never fucking seen Darby Allin. But they did, and they fell in love with him, and now we see much more of him. And that match with him and Jon Moxley, I'm a wrestling fan, been a wrestling fan for 30 years, and I'm sitting there, I know. I'm like, no, there's no way this kid's going to go over. No way. Not a problem. Halfway through that match, I'm like, get him, Darby! Get him! You know? They got me. And it's like, it happens. It can happen. And so it's just like, why can't it happen in all places? The only person, it seems like since they've gone to USA, the only person who's really benefited has been Adam Cole. Like, he has truly become a star. Everyone else, and I know like Velveteen Dream's been injured and things like that, but when I did see him, it seemed like a lesser version of him. Yes. It seemed less provocative version of him. It seemed just different. It seemed like once they put that spotlight on all these people, it kind of was like, oh, this does seem like a developmental brand. And I didn't expect that. I did not expect that.
Wow. Ron, it sounds like AEW has you genuinely hooked, and you're not gravitating towards them because they're the new kids in town or they're the new cool kids. They have your interest.
Yeah, just I think when entertainment in general is something I've been thinking about overall, because, you know, I work in the business, is that with all the streaming, when you got access to every episode of Seinfeld, every episode of The Simpsons, you got on the network alone, every old pay-per-view, why would I watch bad wrestling? There's no reason for me to. There used to be a reason because there was no options, but I haven't watched Raw or SmackDown in months because it's bad television. I don't have a reason to watch bad television anymore.
Well, I gotta defend the guys on Raw and SmackDown. I don't consider that bad wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider.
I chose my words carefully. I said bad television.
No, you said bad wrestling.
I said television.
You said bad wrestling.
Yeah. Oh no, I said not. Don't watch any bad. I know what you're gonna say because of course I'm not. But it's like when I'm on Undateable, if I'm on a bad sitcom, I don't go, oh, you know, you guys don't know how hard we're working. You don't know how the jokes we are. You don't know the fact that they edited these cuts down. At the end of the day, if the product isn't great, I just have to be like, yeah, the show sucks.
Yeah, and Bully looks at it. Obviously, Bully looks at it not only one way as a performer, but the right way, which is you can't blame the performers. Oh. They're doing the best. But as a fan, for me watching, that's what I'm seeing. So, like, when I'm not watching a product, like, say you said a bad sitcom, I'm not going to be like, boy, the actors are really doing their best, but the script really sucks. Boy, the direction's terrible. It's just a bad show.
Yeah.
So, to me as a fan, everyone's to blame because there's a stink to it because it's bad.
And it changes. It changes all the time. And that's what's so great about wrestling. Could we get good at any moment? But, you know, I've seen that before when I've listened to the podcast, Bully, is that there seems to be like this disconnect between the fans and the wrestlers as far as like you guys thinking that we want it to fail. I want good wrestling. I love most of the WWE roster. Those are people who I watch in the indies go to WWE or watch the Ring of Honor go to WWE. I don't wish them ill will. I just also don't want to watch bad TV.
Well, yeah, with bad storylines and a show that's not entertaining, I'll agree with. The one thing that me and Dave can always say after a Monday night or a Friday night is that the wrestling matches were good and that the wrestlers put forth a great effort. Because I believe, Dave, would you agree or disagree, the one thing that shines through on Raw or SmackDown, despite the shows might being a little boring, is the wrestling matches are good.
Yeah, the wrestling matches are good, but I think what we've seen last night, Bully, And I'm hoping that this ends come Sunday because it's all this build towards Survivor Series, is we're not seeing climaxes to the matches.
Absolutely.
You know, like, again, that opening match with Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch, I'm in. I even forgot about AEW for a few minutes, and I'm strictly watching NXT. But then you don't get a finish to the match. You're getting an end, which is just like the end that we saw on matches on SmackDown on Friday, and just like the end of matches that we saw on Monday Night Raw on Monday. And that's a problem. It's the formula of it, and I think we got that last night on NXT.
I just think there's like a difference in stakes, you know, when you go and watch a show on Raw or SmackDown, it just seems like, okay, like you said, it might be a good match, but what did it matter? And there's nothing that matters. There's no storyline that's going to be built off of it. If it does, I think it's just from serving too many masters because things get interrupted. You might be building towards SummerSlam, and then the Saudi Arabia show is in the middle of it that has completely different build, completely different matches. And so it kind of throws away what I've been watching, and just as it doesn't reward me for watching it, where it's something... I would say a major difference, like you guys were talking about the Scorpio Sky, Chris Jericho promos, the crowd chanting that Jericho got pinned, that it was a big deal that he lost one tag team match.
First of all, you're no longer Reckless Ron Funches. You're now Professor Ron Funches, especially what you've been preaching here today. Bully, he's 100% right. Remember the big discussions that were going into AEW in their first episode was about Cody Rhodes saying wins and losses matter. And we weren't sure if wins and losses were really going to matter. Ron just laid it out there. A loss in a tag match, not even in a singles match, a loss in a tag match had ramifications to it, to the point now we're getting a championship match because of it.
I think it's a great point based on the wins and losses matter. Absolutely.
Nice. He didn't even say a but.
That's so no. Different.
No. I actually paused and waited for
me
the
too.
But.
No. No, it's a great point, because when Cody first came out and said about the wins and the losses matter, I said the only way wins and losses are truly going to matter is if you have a ranking system. And now they are started to develop a ranking system.
Yep.
But Ron, what you said is absolutely right. Here comes Scorpio Sky, a tag team guy who pins the world champion in a tag team match, which should elevate him. Now, listen. It's not like the executive championship committee gave him the match. Jericho basically worked himself into the match.
Yeah, and I also thought that was beautiful. That was something I've seen so many times, the baby face that gets stupid and gets outsmarted. To see the heel get outsmarted was like, this is perfect. They're making Scorpio look good. They're doing the one thing that would be a couple of issues I have with AEW is that it seems like, it, as much as they talk about diversity and talk about exclusion, they don't have that many like black people on their roster. And so it was nice to see someone get like Scorpio, who does deserve it and does work his ass off, get elevated. I think that I hope SCU ends up turning on him. I hope they go heel and he becomes the biggest baby face in that company, because I met him once, and just talking to him, I was like, you're a star. Like, his personality is off the charts.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
The great Dan Soder, and he's got a big comedy special coming up next month on HBO. HBO, that's like the place to be for comedy.
It's pretty crazy, man.
That's awesome.
Got an hour coming out December 7th.
Son of a Gary.
Yep, 10 p.m.
That is amazing. Like, I remember growing up, like, that was where comedy specials, like George Carlin, you know, Eddie Murphy, that was HBO.
The one thing I asked for was I got them to do it. They're doing the whole 1983 featured presentation intro.
That's so amazing.
To my special. And I was like, I fought for that. I was like, I want that old school feature presentation thing. And they're like, you got it. And they put it on the special. So I saw it in the edit, and I was like, this is nuts.
Yes, Dan, this might be a hard one to answer, but what's a bigger deal for a comedian, having his own HBO special or selling out the Garden?
I mean, selling out the Garden, I think, is insane. I think that's like a thing where you're like, I could never even process that right now. Like, the thought of that, I'm half selling heliums. You know what I mean? So I'm trying. That would be unbelievable. But HBO special, HBO special, I think, in a way, is kind of like getting your first belt. You know what I mean? Like, when you get a special, I think that they're putting you over in a way where they're like, we believe in you. Here you go. And HBO is one of the biggest ones. I've always been joking that I said, like, the HBO hour for me feels like winning the Intercontinental.
That's what I felt like.
Where it was like, all right, you guys aren't putting the heavyweight on me, but you're putting a strap on me.
Yeah.
And I like this one.
They're putting that workman's belt on you.
They know I'm going to go out there and have a good match every time. So that's why, for me, I was like, this is awesome.
Well, for the both of you guys, maybe one day you'll be like me and somebody will have a fathead in the audience on a live TV show.
I love
like
seeing that. Whenever I see that, I love that. Fatheads are, it's fun to see who pops up at wrestling events on the fatheads.
Yeah. Well, lately it's been me.
Yeah.
That's the point I was trying to make.
You got the fathead market cornered.
You know, it's funny, Bully. During the break, you know, Alex Metz is saying, wow, we haven't seen you, Dan, since our 10-year anniversary party. You know, before WrestleMania, it was great having you on. You were awesome. And then Ron Funch is sitting here like, I was in New York during that. We invited him. Like, fuck me. No, you did?
We invited Ron.
Did we invite
Ron on the air?
That's like a funny thing where you grow up and you go, you never wanted to date me. And a girl's like, I asked you to prom. And you go, oh, shit. I guess you did. I'm sorry.
Okay. Then I'm okay. That's exactly what I like, is to be invited to parties and not attend.
Yeah. That's a cool thing.
Dan, did you hear Ron is engaged?
Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome, man. Ron's the shit, man. Ron's one of my buddies where... You know, like, if there's a big wrestling event and a bunch of comics are going, I know Ron's going to be there, and we're going to be able to hang out, smoke weed, have a great time, and just enjoy it. He's, like, one of my favorite people to watch wrestling with, to talk wrestling with.
Yeah. We hung out with my fiance, and you took us to the Olive Garden. Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah.
After an AEW show.
After Double or Nothing, we went and had some delicious Outback Steakhouse.
Wait a second, Ron. You called me old, and you're going to Outback?
Listen,
it was not my choice.
We had a handicap match with a Bloomin' Onion. it was a Japanese death match.
Yeah, that onion was a tough competitor. I'll tell you, the
onion won.
Yeah,
I paid for that. I paid for that later.
Let's get into a little wrestling talk with you, Dad, because we talked a lot about AEW.
It's my favorite.
With Ron. I know you watched NXT last night.
We're filming Billions right now. And so we had like a long 13-hour day, and Wednesday nights are my nights. Because my NXT and Dynamite are my two favorite things to watch in wrestling right now.
And then I watch Power on Wednesday, and too, to make it a full day.
I mean, you really got the trifecta.
Yeah.
But I knew, I was like, okay, I got to watch one or the other, but it's Survivor Series week. So I was like, why don't I watch NXT? They're doing all these invasion angles. And I was happy I did, because it was awesome. It was just kind of cool to see all the old NXT stars coming back. You know, you had Shinsuke, Cesaro jumped in.
I mean, Becky Lynch starts the show.
Becky Lynch starting it off was unbelievable. So, yeah, I was like, let me watch NXT, and now I have a nice... I've avoided enough spoilers from Dynamite to enjoy it tonight.
All right, I have a question for all three of you, actually, because, you know, Ron was talking about AEW, you're talking about NXT. We know this is the eighth week of this Wednesday Night War, and AEW has won every single week.
Yeah.
Is this the week where NXT finally beats AEW?
No. I think Dynamite still wins, because there was still stuff on Dynamite that I wanted to watch. I wanted to watch Darby Allin, Moxley. Mm-hmm. I was like really excited about that when he took the open challenge. So there is stuff, I think, I don't know.
I'd say I wouldn't be surprised if this week was the week, just because of the amount of star power.
Yeah.
I mean, that people love Becky Lynch, people love Seth. People, if they were going to win, this would be the week. But as far as like hooking me on television, like AEW's got me. I'm gonna be back next week. I think that in the long term, I wouldn't worry about AEW at all.
And here's the thing, guys. You know, if NXT were to win this week, there's an asterisk next to it, because they popped a rating because of the people that they had to pull in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happens next week when Becky's not there, when Seth is not there, when Shinsuke is not there, when Cesaro is not there? That doesn't look good for the show if they pop the rating this week and then next week they settle back down into their normal number. I think AEW is going to going to pull it off again. And it's really cool to hear you guys talk about AEW because I can hear your tone. I can hear your inflection. You guys genuinely like this product. And I think that's the way it is across the board. People are getting something different. People are getting something they can latch onto. People are getting a more adult-oriented brand of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
New characters. Dan, like you just mentioned, Darby Allin. Like, Darby's interesting, man.
Great.
Absolutely. He's like,
that Jericho match where Jericho got his arms behind him, Darby Allin I wasn't sold on. I didn't like the whole, like, emo, like, I had a sad life, I can take pain. But then when they did the arms behind, when they did the arms behind the back, and then he mounted the comeback, and it took Jack Hager to interfere for him to win. I was like, I'm way on board with Darby Allin now.
Doing you got to watch this week.
Yeah. No, I'm
the
excited.
The entrance alone was phenomenal.
It was amazing.
But Bully, you're absolutely right. I think with AEW, what we're getting is we're not getting any false finishes. We're getting like full matches on TV, and they're building stars. They're building legitimate stars that aren't in the old Vince McMahon era of like monsters. Big muscly guys, you're getting athletic dudes who can work.
Yeah, to jump on what you're saying, Bill, you want to go ahead and jump in?
No, go ahead, Ron.
I just want to say that I think even if they do win this week, it might be a detriment because that would be the difference. Like I told you about how they have to serve so many masters and then this invasion being fun in a vacuum, but overall, AEW has been able to continually to build stars, whereas NXT is just bringing back people. They're not building anyone besides Adam Cole. So if you ask me again in a couple of weeks who I'm interested in, I'm interested in what Darby Allin is doing. I'm interested in what Joey Janela is doing. And what the biggest thing I've noticed is that people are texting me who know I'm wrestling fans, people in comedy, people like Chris D'Elia, people like Brian Posehn, who are like, I love Marco Stunt. I love Orange Cassidy because it's new and different and it's funny.
And the one thing that surprised me is, you know, I talk about my wife Violetta all the time on this show. She was not a wrestling fan at all until she met me and since she watched it really for the first time. The show that she likes more than any other is AEW. Because of the same reason that you're talking about, Ron, it's character development. It's storyline. She's not a fan. So she was watching along with me when we were watching NXT. So she really doesn't know who Rhea Ripley is. So now we get a match between Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch, and there's not a finish to the match. Like, and she's like, oh, is... And then she asked me, so, oh, they're going to wrestle on the pay-per-view on Sunday? Well, no, they're not going to wrestle on the pay-per-view on Sunday. Oh, what's that thing on Saturday, that takeover? Are they wrestling on that takeover? No, they're actually not wrestling on that takeover. So now she's lost. Mm-hmm. But now she's watching Scorpio Sky and Chris Jericho going back and forth. Well, they're building towards a match that you're going to be able to watch next week. Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense when you think about it.
You know, Bron, you said that you're also watching NWA Power, correct?
Yes.
How do you feel about their product right now?
I like it a lot. Sometimes I don't enjoy everything of it. I think some of the wrestling can be a little bit too old school for me. It depends on my mood. I think that they're doing right and what every company is going to have to start doing is that there's so much wrestling that you have to be specific. You have to be unique. You have to know what your vision is. So if you are doing an old school version of it, they need to keep doing exactly what they're doing. I think it's the companies that are kind of in the middle, the Impacts, the Ring of Honors, that really have to start looking at what they want to be because it used to be that they were there as the alternative to WWE, but right now there's so many other options. I can watch New Japan. I can watch NWA. So if Impact or if MLW or, any of those other companies are more these middle of the road, a little bit of everything type of companies, you know, I'm a little bit worried about them. That's just my view on it right now.
Are you a question mark fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys see, I don't even know what they wanted. Did they expect him to get booed? Because it seemed like they expected him to get booed, and the crowd loved him, and it was great. I love Eli Drake. I love, I just love the promo styles. I was a big fan of Jim Cornette on there. I'm sad that he's gone, so it's a good show. I'm enjoying it.
Wow. Okay. I'll bite. What did you think about the Cornette situation?
I thought what happened to Jim Cornette, and I don't know if everybody heard the joke. I assume if they listen to this, they probably have. He got caught up in doing an old hacky joke that he did before and didn't realize that the audience had changed. It happens to every comedian. Mm-hmm. Happens to all of us. We think that, oh, I can go pull out this 10-year-old joke that I used to do, and then you do it and the audience has changed. And that's it. To me, like, there's an overreaction for sure, but it's with a guy who you can't get the give the benefit of the doubt because of his Twitter, his past Twitter tirades, things of that nature. But the joke itself was clearly about poor, but it wasn't racial. It was about, if he wanted to make it racial, he would have said fried chicken on his back driving through Baltimore, driving through Chicago, driving through that. That would have been racist. To say Ethiopia is a thing that you know is a place that's known for being starving and for being poor. And that's what that joke was about.
Do you think if he chose a different food?
Yes.
But that's what everybody on social media was saying. He should have picked a different food.
But but he didn't. Like, if he said pizza or if he said hamburgers or something, then probably it's still a tasteless joke.
Like a nice duck larange.
Yeah, but the problem is, and the problem why I think it was, you know, it was a horrible decision by Jim Cornette, and I think the only good decision he made was stepping down yesterday, is the fact it's a terrible joke to make, and he did say fried chicken, and there is racial connotations to saying that. And the other thing is like what Ron just said, there is a history with this man. I mean, you know, the guy is the fist waving old man in the room and isn't willing to change or evolve. And the biggest thing is, here's the thing, if I say a joke right now in front of everybody and you think it's funny, Ron thinks it's funny, but Gabby, our assistant producer, thinks it was terrible and she was offended by it, well, you know what? I'm going to apologize to Gabby. I'm going to say, you know, that wasn't my intention. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to offend you. There was no remorse from Jim Cornette after making that. Knowing that he did offend people and people were angry about it, he chose to make a joke about it again. And I
don't even really have a problem with that. I do that all the time. Yeah. A lot of people get mad at me for.
But you're a comedian. He's not. He's a commentator on a wrestling
show. That's a good point. That is a difference. But if he isn't sorry, then don't apologize.
Yeah,
if you want to quit, quit. Like
the only thing worse than like a forced apology is when you can tell the person doesn't absolutely mean it at all. And then you're like, oh, you're just doing this to cover your ass, and then it looks way worse.
Yeah. I have much more respect for a guy who's just like, you know what, that's me, and if you don't like me, fuck it. And so I love that. I mean, doesn't mean that I thought the joke was great. No, there's been times where I've made horrible jokes, and like you said, I have apologized to that specific person, mm-hmm. but I will never apologize for making a joke. I thought it was fucking funny. So,
and I think he has a certain fan base. You know, it's called the cult of Cornette for a reason. And I think that if he were to apologize, his fan base would feel let down by him.
Absolutely. That's a great point, Bully. Because if you go against the people that know you the most, because Ron and I as comedians, if we're making jokes and then all of a sudden I get in trouble at another job for making a joke, it's like, well, I make jokes. That's what I do. Why am I going to apologize? Because then all my fans that know me from comedy are like, oh, so now you're not a comedian anymore. Because mm-hmm. you see that in the social media age. You see comedians all of a sudden try to get way too political that were never political in order. You're like, who are you pandering to? No one gives a shit. Just be funny.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. I think he loses. The cult of Cornette turns on him if he goes too apologetic.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
We're here with Ron Funches in studio again. He's going to be live at Caroline's. Go to carolines.com tonight, tomorrow mm-hmm. night. I can't wait to see him with the two free tickets I got in my mailbox.
Ooh.
And then we have Dan Soder, who premieres, was it December 7th on HBO, your special, which I cannot wait. 1 hour on HBO. That's amazing, Dan.
10 p.m., December 7th. And then it could stream everywhere.
And, of course, you're also the host of The Bonfire.
Yeah, I got Bonfire Monday through Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. with me and Big J on Comedy Central Radio.
And you can hear Ron Funches getting better.
What's that, boy?
Sorry about that. How was your crowd for your HBO special? Were they as live as you wanted them to be?
First one, no. First crowd, I didn't get the pops that I thought I deserved. I thought,
Where'd you record?
Bowery Ballroom.
Oh, okay.
So I think the first one, it was a 7 o'clock show, which is my fault, on a Wednesday. It should have been an 8 o'clock show. That was my bad. I fucked up. They were good. They would laugh, but it would drop. they would laugh and then drop. And then the second crowd, I went out and immediately I was like, we got them. This is it. And it made me relaxed. It just made me have more fun. It made me sit in it more and be like, man, this is great. This is just fun. It's the last time I'm going to do these jokes. So this is, it was, it felt really good. And then when we watched the edit, I was like, yeah, definitely second show. I didn't even need to watch the first show. I was like, just do the second show and we'll take things from the first show if we need it for the special. But we did very little of that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
awesome.
Excited. I hope people dig it.
And Rod,
I'm just curious. I want to ask them about how they come up with a joke. Like, wrestlers come up with matches on the fly. Every single night, we just think of a new match. Do you guys just come up with a joke on the fly and use it that night?
Yeah.
I've had it where I've been in the green room talking to an opener, and we've had a conversation about something, and I'll be like, oh, that might be
a
joke.
Try that out.
And let me say that on stage. And then what it is when the crowd reacts to it, you're like, oh, shit, this is a joke. All mm-hmm. right, got it. And then you just keep trying to build it out. The shitty part is, and I don't know if it's like this for you, Bully, when something doesn't work after it's worked a couple times, and then you're like, maybe I'm wrong. So have you ever had like something where you're like, we're going to do a move, and then you try to do it in another city, and then you're like, ah, that didn't work like it did in the other city?
Yeah, Dan, that doesn't go on with me.
Just nailing it all the time.
I only wrestle like 3 times a year, so yeah. my old shtick works every single time.
I love it. I mean, I'm a massive fan, so I'm on board. I'm marking out. I'll always go crazy.
No matter where you live in the country, everybody knows about what a table is.
Yeah.
So
that makes
sense.
Yeah,
thank God for tables, otherwise I would be absolutely nothing. Those who cannot wrestle use furniture.
You didn't even go get the damn tables. You made Devon go get them.
I came up with the line, Ron. I came up with the line.
By the way, Ron wasn't looking at the TV, but that was the best. He was just looking down the camera. I was like, Ron, you look to your left, you're going to shit your pants. Bully's right in the grill. I was almost scared for Ron. I was like, I'm going to get out of here.
HBO, let me tell you something, brother.
I was like, I'm going to get out of here. HBO, fuck, I'm fucking off.
What about with you tonight in New York City? We talked about the New York type of crowd. I mean, and obviously the New York crowd, especially in Times Square, has changed a lot over the years. Now you said it's a lot of families, a lot of tourists. You know, about 15, 20 years ago, it was people with raincoats and you only saw one hand. So, I mean, a lot has obviously changed. Do you get nervous at all when you're performing in front of a New York crowd?
I don't know how it's for them, but I get nervous for every show. Yeah. You know, any show that I care about at all, I get nervous for. Maybe if I'm showing up at just some random bar open mic that sucks, and I'm just like, I'm just going to go talk about my day, I'm not nervous about that. But as far as any performance that I'm doing that people are paying to come see me, I want it to go well. I want to do my best. I want to get better at comedy. I respect comedy. I'm a fan of comedy before I got into comedy. I consider myself a student of comedy, so I always get nervous. I want to do my best.
I completely agree with that. Every single set I do, even, you know, if I'm at the Comedy Cellar at the Stand, which is a place I work every night before I go up, I'm still like, fuck.
It's a positive energy. Yeah, but it's not like vomiting or anything like
but
that.
But you're still kind of like, just, oh man, I want this to go well. And then the second you can feel that it's going well, you're like, all right, now I'm having fun again. It's just like, that moment right before is always nerve-wracking.
So that's interesting. Does it go away as soon as the lights are on you and you're on the stage, or like that first joke gets over and you hear the crowd?
It's like what my football coach used to say. You have to go get hit once, and then once you get hit, you're like, oh, this is just, I'm used to this. All right, this is fun. Now I'm more concentrated on what's actually happening.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
And during the actual show, you know, it ebbs and flows. Not always all gangbusters, you know,
yeah.
But I'm, as long as I'm having fun, as long as I like my jokes, I know what I'm doing, I'm working on my rhythm, then I don't care. So it's like I care up until we start, and then I'm like, oh, this is my home. This is where I hang out.
I've had shows where I've done well with the crowd and hated the show because I didn't have fun.
Yeah.
But I've had shows where I'm not really doing that well with the crowd, but I'm having a lot of fun, and you get off and you're like, man, that was worth it. And then there's a couple people in the audience who are like, that was so much, because you could tell they weren't really into it, but you were having fun, and you're like, yeah, man, that's just what it is. You have to have fun. That's pretty important.
Is that why the both of you still love doing stand-up? Because now with the podcast, your radio show, acting as well, you're both doing, is there still always going to be that thrill of going on stage and performing live?
There's nothing that can substitute how much fun comedy is and doing comedy. It's like kind of like a thing where, similar to wrestling, I want to do this just the rest of my life. However long I can go, I want to go, and I want to keep getting better and evolving and changing.
Yeah,
and that's real important.
And all the rest of stuff is icing. I mean, yeah. I think I will speak for Dan in saying that half the time acting sucks dick. Isn't that fun?
I just did 2 14-hour days on Billions, and I was bummed I was missing my radio show.
Really?
Because we have fun, and then I could go do sets. I feel like. Yeah.
I mean, you come from our type of lifestyle, being like independent and just going and get the immediate gratification and the pops right away, and then you tell us to go work on a show where you're not even going to see it for 6 months, and not bigger than that. Then you have all these people telling you when you can go pee, telling you when you can go eat, doing all these things, and they treat you like a kid, and it's just like, I'm used to just showing up and doing whatever I want.
All right, guys, thank you so much for both being in studio. We love having you on.
I love the show, anytime. And I got to come back on again, because I love it. Bully, I'm going to say hi to you in the hallways when you're here, because I always get chicken shit and run away when I see you.
Why?
I don't know.
You're
I'm a scary man.
Dude,
I'm a massive fan. It's weird.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.